Hello and welcome to episode 20. Episode 25 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am Lewis Gaston, standing in for Christian Lipscomb because he is away. He doesn't have a valid reason for his absence. He is just away.
He's had to go away for a while.
Yes.
But he still loves you very much.
I haven't received a letter or anything.
It's all right, you'll get your visit in order in the post.
All right, brilliant. Yes, I am Lewis from Screen Demon. As you have heard, Peter is back. Yay! So, Peter is, of course, the head dude of Oscar Mike Media and editor of TSA. Say hello, Chaos Bringer.
Hello.
Hola.
Buongiorno. Mon amici. As they say in Wolverhampton.
Yes. And the hissing prick in the background is none other than the news editor for TSA and all-round general sexual deviant, Daniel Lee. Say hello, Daniel.
No, I've already told you I'm on strike until you sort my pension.
Your pension's not going to get sorted for a few days yet, so...
Well, we'll just have to stay here until it's sorted.
Okay, you stay here, and we'll go off and sort that for you, Daniel.
Right.
And we'll be back sometime.
Oh, that's the trick I played on my nephew when he wanted to play hide and seek.
What, you threatened him with a pension?
You just left him there.
Yeah, I said, that's all right, you go and hide, I'll count to 100. And then I carried on with my day, and he sat in the cupboard for about an hour.
Oh, poor nephew.
Yeah. Serves him right for being born related to me.
When I used to be a cub leader, you used to...
What? You used to be a cub leader?
Yeah.
Is that a code word?
Yeah, is that what they call it?
That's what we're calling it now. We used to go ask them for a long wait. Used to go ask them to go and get a long wait. And they would just be gone. Excuse me, have you seen a long wait? Yeah, it's over there. Bye!
Oh dear.
Anyway, I've got a list and everything. And first up, we have Peter with the Uncharted 3 beta, however you pronounce it.
Beta. That's
whatever.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I didn't invent the language, Lewis. I just use it properly.
Look, beta, I'm guessing, comes from the Greek language, and we all know that Greece at the moment can't do fuck all, so...
True. Although I think it's their numeracy skills that they're having problems with rather than their literacy skills.
But beta is a number. No, it's not. It's a letter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a letter. Oh, dear. Shall we just talk about the game and we'll brush over it? Nobody noticed.
Yeah, I'm editing, so that's all gone.
Oh, yeah, I've been trying to play the Uncharted 3 beta this week, but it's not gone very well for me. I think my PlayStation's about to die.
Is it an old fat one?
Yeah, but don't keep your voice down, it might hear you.
Sorry.
It's not that old.
Shapely.
Curvaceous.
Yeah.
It's a curvaceous 40 gig model, but it makes a horrible noise when it gets too warm. And it has, well, first of all, when I downloaded the Uncharted 3 beta, I tried to start it up, and like three times in a row it crashed on load, and I was like, well, yeah, fuck that, I'm not going to bother with it because it's just going to break something. And then I started it up today and it loaded, and it loaded the patch. It got upgraded to 1.01, I think, and after that it worked, but it took me ages to get into a game. And then when I tried to quit it, it crashed my PlayStation, so I think I'm going to leave it for a little while. Because I really do not want my PS3 to die, and oh god, I'll be a nightmare if my PS3 dies.
Yeah, in your position, that probably wouldn't be ideal.
So I think I'll just leave it until somebody tells me that it's safe. But yeah.
So have you played it?
Well, I played it a little bit. It seems very, very similar to Uncharted 2. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I don't really know if I should be talking about it too much because I don't know that much about it. But to me, it just played like Uncharted 2. And that's probably a good thing.
Mm.
Has anybody else played it?
I haven't turned my PlayStation on in about 2 months.
No, I've got a code for it. I just really can't be bothered. It just doesn't interest me. I won't be playing the multiplayer.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because there's no Japanese weird shit in it, is there?
I know. I'm just addicted to robots now.
Yeah. You don't get a huge mech suit, so Dan's not playing it.
No. Yeah. You can't kill a million people in the first level. Forget it.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the Uncharted single player stuff, but I wasn't a massive fan of the multiplayer. But then I'm not a massive fan of any multiplayer like that. I find it tends to sort of break up the experience too much and you lose the rhythm of it.
I have to say with Uncharted 2, I enjoyed the multiplayer, but only the bog standard multiplayer. I don't like the chucking the treasure round. I thought that was a bit naff, but the bog standard deathmatch sort of multiplayer, that's quite cool.
And the co-op was quite good in Uncharted 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've spent quite a few hours on the co-op and really enjoyed it. It's just I felt a shame that they didn't really develop it much. There was only like a handful of maps for the co-op.
Yeah, there is a co-op option in the beta, but I didn't get a chance to look at that yet.
Oh, okay, I might give it a go then if it's got co-op.
Cool. Well, that's Uncharted 3. Do you know who's not in Uncharted 3?
Who's not in Uncharted 3? Gandhi.
Nope. Well, technically, yes.
Batman.
No.
Muhammad Ali.
Chris.
No.
Chris.
Well, these are all technically correct.
My Uncle Robin.
No, he's actually in there.
Oh, shit, is he?
Yeah.
Oh. He's kept that quiet.
Third henchman from the left on the first level.
Well, it'll be something to talk about at Christmas, won't it?
There you go. No, but I was thinking, Alice, she's not in Uncharted 3. You know what she is in? She's in Alice...
Luther.
She's in Alice Madness Returns, which I think Dan has been playing.
No?
Oh, well, that was a proper segue.
I know.
Chris who?
I'm professional.
Professional what?
Whatever you want me to be. I've got lots of costumes.
Oh. Do they all have cod pieces? Don't know why I'm picturing that.
They can all have cod pieces.
Oh.
And I could like come in singing Word Up for you if you want, a bit cameo. Godfather of the cod piece. No?
No, I'm glad I've eaten already. Just feel a bit sick now.
Thanks. That makes me feel really good about myself, Dan. I love you too.
I know.
I also love Alice. Do you know what Alice is in? Alice Madness Returns, which you've been playing. See? We could talk about anything. That link is good to go for any occasion.
Do you know what has absolutely nothing to do with that subject we've just been talking about? This next subject we're about to talk about.
Shh. Don't give away the secrets of linkage.
Oh, sorry. Are these broadcast secrets? Is this something they teach you in the deep...
That they were.
Deep in the bowels of the BBC, there's somebody that gives classes on this shit.
Exactly. Expensive courses they are, and you've just blurted out for the world.
But do you know who Story isn't? Of my life. Do you know who isn't on an expensive course?
Alice.
Yes.
You are?
Oh, dear.
Dan?
Yeah?
Talk about Alice!
Now that's I like that one. That's a good segue. Yeah, I'm kind of doing this one backwards because I've not played the original game, so I'm kind of jumping into this Madness Returns. It's at the moment just seems to be kind of your bog standard platform game, which I was quite surprised about. Obviously set in Alice's severely fucked up head.
I take it this is Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, but her Wonderland is kind of twisted, where you get chased by massive teapots with big red eyes that are trying to kill you with boiling hot tea.
Cool.
That's actually quite terrifying. It's like a twisted, quite violent version of Wonderland, where you're roaming around with a knife trying to kill things. It's actually really, really
now,
bizarre.
If we'd have done that version at my school play, I would have enjoyed it far more.
It really is twisted. She's absolutely mental. She just starts the game, she's in an asylum, and she just randomly talking to people, and they'll start turning into like massive deformed bunnies trying to kill her. And then I'm assuming she goes into her own psyche, because she wakes up in Wonderland again. And you take it from there.
So what's the setup? Has she been sent to an asylum because of her experiences in Wonderland?
Yeah, apparently her family all burned to death while she watched.
Okay.
As you do. And from what I can gather, when she's seeing the psychiatrist, it's like, oh, you know, go into your Wonderland, just your happy place. But her mind is so screwed up that her happy place started to try and kill her.
This sounds like my kind of game.
It is, yeah. It's basically Lewis.
What's it for?
Xbox and PS3.
Lewis Carroll. Xbox and PS3.
Yes.
Was it a download title?
No, it's a full game. Although it looks a bit dodgy. But the art style is really, really good. It's just the graphics engine isn't quite up to that vision, I don't think, anyway. Certainly on the Xbox version. I've heard the PS3 looks slightly better. But will probably take about 16 hours to install.
And then it'll need an update before you can play it.
Yeah.
What kind of game is it? Is it like, because I know absolutely nothing about it and never played the first one, is it like Tomb Raider-y, or is it?
No, it's all just platform. Basically, you enter a room, you got to figure out how to get to the other side of the room. And it normally involves lots of well-timed jumps, a few levers, switches here and there, and then stabbing the crap out of teapots, which is just bizarre. I've been boiled to death by bloody a tea-throwing teapot with a big red eye.
You haven't lived.
it's I quite like platform games, so I'm quite enjoying it. But the game, I think, got a bit of a kicking in the press, from what I remember. It got quite a few low scores. I'm not quite sure why at the minute.
I literally have seen nothing about this game. I've seen a couple of screenshots, and I sort of know that it's the first one was famous for its visual style, but it kind of got panned a bit on the gameplay. I think it was quite tricky to control, I think, but I haven't heard anything about the new one yet.
Yeah, I've not read any of the reviews. I've just seen some scores, and they didn't seem to like it that much. But I mean, I can't see any problems with it. I'm actually really enjoying it. Not had any problems with the controls. I mean, you can shrink yourself as well. I don't particularly know why or how, but you can shrink yourself and uncover.
Because she doesn't. She does in the story, doesn't
she? Yeah, she gets a little.
Does she?
Yeah, there's a little bottle of potion.
Yeah, she drinks a potion.
Ah, that makes sense now. Because that's what she does.
And then she goes down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. She loves it down the rabbit hole.
I mean, bloody turning Alice in Wonderland into a bloody filth.
Oh, I could turn anything into filth.
And, go on then, Alice. Alice and the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah. But, it's so far really good. Doesn't seem to want to end either, because I've been playing for about 3 hours and I'm still on chapter one. I don't know how many chapters there are, but I've heard a lot of people say it just doesn't seem to end. So,
is there a lot of variety to it then in that case, or is it
not
quite samey,
not in terms of gameplay at the minute? It's pretty much, it's relying on the settings, because every setting I've been to so far has a different theme running through it. So it's relying on that more than the gameplay, because at the moment it's basically just jump. You can do multiple jumps in the air and hover, so it's just kind of do that to get there and then back again, find some keys.
So there's a bit puzzle to it as well.
Not even puzzles, to be honest, because it's kind of signposts you heavily, like, look at that over there. And if you try and look away, it goes, no, look at it. Look at that big thing there. And so I can imagine if it continues like this after a few more hours, it probably will become a bit boring. So I hope it changes or kind of shifts it up a gear.
Cool.
Sounds pretty cool, actually. I was quite, when I heard about it and saw a couple of screenshots of it, I was quite interested in it. But there was quite a lot came out this month. But it might be one to pick up when it comes down in price a bit.
Well, that's the thing, it would probably come down really quickly. I don't even know how well it did in the charts. But I would imagine it would be fairly cheap, just like absolutely everything is after about 2 weeks.
Yeah. There's no multiplayer to it either, is there? It's all single player.
Yeah. You also get a free copy of the original chucked in as well.
Cool.
That's worth it.
Time to think of it, I probably should have played that first.
You might know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lost. It's like, oh, we meet again. It's like, oh, shit. Did we?
You might also find out why she's in a mental institution.
Oh, yeah, it's more fun when you don't know what's going on.
I
spent the whole of last week playing a game I didn't know what the hell was going on. I've kind of come to enjoy it.
Mystery. Okay, from one fantastical dimension that puzzles me to another. Peter, you've been playing Puzzle Dimension.
I've been playing Tiny Tower on the iPad.
Shh. Tiny Tower is coming second. I can link Puzzle Dimension.
Yes, I played Puzzle Dimension from the PlayStation Network for review. And was actually very surprised that I enjoyed it quite a lot. It's a puzzle game kind of like Cooler World. I don't know if anybody remembers that. It was a PS1 game where you're a ball that rolls around on like pathways made of square tiles.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it plays on like gravity, so you stick to the track no matter what way you go. So you can roll around curves and end up where you would be upside down, but the track sort of just follows you around. And then at different bits you can jump off the track onto different points of it. So there's like these weird shapes suspended in space and you're the ball that rolls around them and you have to collect sunflowers and then get out the ball. And it's really difficult to explain how the gravity thing works, but it's quite a simple thing. It's just a track and this ball rolls in one of four directions. And you can jump and you just have to pick up the sunflowers and then get out. And it sounds really simple, but the puzzles get really, really complicated. And it's so well designed that some of the puzzles are so complex, and there's maybe like 20 or 30 different moves that you have to make, and you have to make them in the right sequence, or you get halfway through the level and end up falling off. So it's really clever and really well designed. I was very impressed.
How much is that?
I think it's not on the store. It might have gone on the store this week, actually.
Yeah. Oh, right,
And I think it was $9.99, but that was dollars and euros, so it should be a little bit cheaper in pounds. It's usually like $7.99 or something.
Seven, yeah.
Is it worth that then?
I think so. Yeah, especially, I mean, if you liked Cooler World on the PS1, or did anybody play Cuboid HD?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that as well. I don't know, it's nice sometimes.
Cuboid angers me.
It's nice sometimes to have that sort of relaxed game that you don't have to worry too much about, and well, not worry, but it's not a sort of action pack that you have to concentrate on. So you can just sort of chill out and play it for an hour. So,
and is it, obviously, you've only played a bit of it, but is there a certain hour length to it, or is it just basically an endless puzzle?
Oh, no, there are levels to it. I've played through most of it. I haven't finished it, but I played through most of it. Because it goes on for hours and hours and hours. I think there's about 100 levels of it, and they get gradually more and more complex, and there's little different mechanics that are introduced in it.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time in there. yeah, you could spend, I would say it would do you for a good few weeks. Well worth the money.
Cool.
I think the important question is, does it have mechs in it?
No. No mechs.
That's a pity. So,
clearly not a very good value proposition for you, Dan.
No, never mind.
Unless you're a tiny, minute ball rolling around on the back of a mech.
That's possible. It's possible.
There you go, Dan.
That our entire universe is dreamed by a frog.
That sounds awesome.
Think about it. You can't prove it's not.
You can't prove it is.
I don't have to.
I don't have to prove it isn't.
All right. We appear to be at stalemate, Mr. Gaston.
Okay then. Tell us about Tiny Tower.
All right.
How about that for a link?
Tiny Tower is an iPad game. I think it's on the iPhone as well. I think it's a universal app, so it works on both, actually. It's kind of like a little sim game where you build a tower, and you first have to build an apartment block, and then you have to build, it's like a floor of apartments, and then you have to build the next floor, which is like a somewhere for them to work in, and you can choose for it to be creative or retail or food or other things, entertainment I think is one of them. And then people move into your residential floor, and then they go and work in the other floor, and you have to stock it with goods to sell, and then you earn more money and can build more floors. And this way it goes on forever. It's kind of really crazy, but you have to go back, so you earn more money, and then you can go back and build more floors. And the more floors you build, the more money you earn, and the more residents you need to work in the places on these floors. And it can, I think it could just basically go on forever, but it keeps, because you have to restock each of the businesses, and it takes, like, sometimes it'll take 10 minutes to restock something in the shop, and then you have to go in and say that you're ready to sell it, and then they'll sell it. But when they sell out, you have to restock it again, so you kind of have to keep returning to it every, well, you can leave it, you don't have to keep going back every 10 minutes, but it's kind of like a really needy Tamagotchi, in that you have to just keep going back and pressing a couple of buttons, and then you have to leave it for an hour, and then go back to it and press a couple of buttons, and then leave it for an hour. But it's kept me going back to it for about a week now. And usually
if you don't restock it, does it shrivel up in a corner and die?
No, it just, all the businesses turn their lights off, and
Tamagotchi plus one.
Is there any poop?
1-0 yeah. to Tamagotchi.
Is there any poop involved?
No, not yet.
2-0 to Tamagotchi.
But I have to say, I have just opened a burger restaurant, and I don't have my basic food hygiene. So there might be some very dodgy poo going on soon.
Nice. So it doesn't sound like a tiny tower, really. It sounds like a massive tower.
Oh, yeah, but the art style's like pixelated, and all the little tiny people are in it.
So it's tiny people. I'm just worried about the advertising standards, that's all.
I don't think Trading Standards will have much of a problem with it, to be honest.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. Perhaps you should report it.
Perhaps I will.
Oh dear. It's tiny to begin with. I have now, I think, 15 floors.
They're all tiny to begin with.
Yeah. Well. What? Oh, what's your point?
You have 15 floors, do you?
Yeah, I think I've got 15 floors now, and it becomes more and more complex. And it's free to download, but it's supported with, you can, if you want to hurry them up, if you want to make them just automatically restock the shop or whatever business it is, then you can spend these things called tower bucks, and if you want, you can buy bundles of those for real cash money, like microtransactions.
Oh right, okay.
But you can just keep playing and playing, and it's, sometimes the game rewards you with these for like taking people up in the elevator and stuff. You'll get a free one.
Sorry, dirty mind. Carry on.
Yeah, so it's,
I was
again,
expecting Lewis to jump in there, who's taking people up the elevator to get a free one.
How dare you insinuate that my mind works like that?
So, my apologies.
Thanks, Peter. Carry on before we were rudely interrupted.
Oh dear, like the elevator doors opening on the wrong floor.
Sorry.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird, and it sounds like you wouldn't enjoy it in the slightest, but that's what I thought when I installed it and thought, this is probably going to be shit. And generally, I try and steer clear of anything that's supported by microtransactions, because I don't trust myself.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really say that I'm really enjoying it, but I keep going back to it. So it must have something.
That sounds like Farmville. No one in the world enjoys Farmville.
Yeah, it's kind of that style of game, I think. In that it just keeps you going back doing little menial tasks that don't actually mean anything. But when you go back and it tells you that while you've been away, your building's earned like $20,000, then you think, oh, I've earned loads of money, that's brilliant, I'll go and spend it. And then you spend it on earning more money.
I think the hook is, if you don't come back, this bad thing is going to happen and undo all the work you've just done. So you kind of feel obliged to come back. I know in Farmville.
Oh no, I don't think there's anything like that. They just stop selling stuff and they close all the businesses.
Like a towering inferno in situation.
It would be pretty cool if you left it for like 3 weeks and then went back to it and all your residents were just corpses. Everywhere was closed and all your residents had starved to death. They had to fumigate
it. It's a shining hotel.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds even more fun, man. I hope they make that. Zombie level add-ons.
Yeah, everything has a zombie added lev on. Added lev on?
Added lev on.
Added lev on. I'm doing away with conventional language. I'm merging words.
Is that Hebrew?
So, anything else you'd like to say about Tiny Tower?
No, I don't think so.
So in Tiny Tower, you can build restaurants.
Yes.
In restaurants, you often get the choice of steak. You could even get a completely steak restaurant, which is funny because I watched a film called Steak Land.
Brilliant.
Get out.
No. This is difficult, alright? I'm trying. Not very well, I'll give you that, but... No, I watched Steakland, which is basically... You know The Road with Viggo Mortensen in?
Yes.
It's basically that, but with vampires.
Okay.
And it's a very good film. It's basically this boy watches his mother and father get mauled by vampires, and then he is rescued by this wandering warrior type bloke who takes him under his wing and shows him the way. And it is in the area, like it's these vampires have taken over and caused it to look like a post-apocalyptic world. So it's like I say, it's like The Road. They're all walking down the street, scavenging out trolleys, that sort of thing. But the vampires aren't your typical vampires. They aren't talky, intelligent vampires. They're basically zombies with fangs that eat, that munch on blood. If that makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, it's a very good film. And they basically go on the road to looking for this place called New Eden, which may or may not exist, or may not live up to the hopes of what they think it will be. And along the way they meet sort of other people. They meet religious nut jobs that rape nuns, and they become another sort of enemy outside of the vampires. So yeah, it's very different for a vampire film. It's like I say, the fact that the vampires are zombies rather than sort of suave goths.
It sounds kind of like the vampire kind of bad people in the book for I Am Legend.
Because
they made that film and they turned them into funny sort of athletic zombies, but in the book they were much more like vampires.
They're not as clever as I Am Legend.
Right.
They basically are just vampire zombies, if you like. They don't plan to ambush people. Like I said, they can't talk. They just hunt blood, and they shuffle around, and they don't have any fancy tricks like turning into bats or super speed, super hearing, that type of thing. But they have the fangs, and you still kill them by chopping off the head or stake through the heart, or they've added the stipulation of severing the spine. That's the other way to kill them. And when they do get staked or exposed to sunlight, they don't evaporate into dust. If they get staked, they just die like they've been stabbed. And if they're in the sun, they just burn up like they've been set on fire. So it's done away with quite a lot of the traditional elements of vampires, and has focused mainly on the sort of human nature of situations like post-apocalypse worlds, that type of thing. But it's very good. I enjoyed it a lot, and there are quite a few jumpy moments in there, and then there's a couple of sort of additions. Like I said, the religious faction, the Nutjobs, they add quite a bit of
the Nutjobs. Is that what they're actually called?
The Nutjob. Oh no, that's my affection. That's my affectionate term for them.
So the laziest scriptwriting ever.
They're called Christians or something.
When there's a knock on the door, Mom, it's the Nutjobs again. Don't let them in.
I can't remember if they have an actual name. They just wear ponchos and rape nuns.
So do there has to be some perks to being a Nutjob.
And then the leader of that becomes like the main villain of the film.
And what, they're travelling to try and find New Eden?
There's this place called New Eden, which is supposed to, like, it's a bit like all those films, you know, where they hear of a place that's been untouched or undamaged.
Yeah.
This place called New Eden is supposed to be, i.e. the name, I can't even speak today. I didn't even mean to say i.e. I'm just adding vowels in now. I've got to that point. A-O.
Just a bag of letters left over from Scrabble.
Hence the name New Eden. It's supposed to be untouched, but excuse me. You don't know if it's intact or not, because a couple of people say, "Oh, New Eden's in pieces as well. It's not there anymore." And they never, you know, the story never actually reaches that point, because a few things happen along the way and sort of steer people in different directions. So. You never actually find out if it is or not.
That's kind of like I Am Legend as well. Where they have that safe place that they were talking about and nobody actually knew if it really existed.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there is, like I say, it's immediately comparable to The Road, just because of the whole older man, younger bloke sort of relationship. Like it's almost a father and son relationship. And like I said, because of the state of the world around them. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities to I Am Legend there as well, except it's not shit.
And it doesn't have Will Smith in it.
Thank God.
I fucking hate Will Smith.
He's a ton, Ginny.
I just don't like him. And I realise that this is not a popular view, but I just do not like Will Smith.
It unnerves me when people are that happy.
Yeah, and he's got a misshapen head.
Yeah, and weird ears.
He's too skinny. He's got this big head on top, like a chupa chup. And then his two big ears sticking out the side, like a taxi with both doors open. Just don't like. And then although the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was quite good.
Yeah, that's an exception. And then he bred Willow Smith and Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Which doesn't give you any bonus points.
No. Willow Smith's weird though, isn't it? I don't know if that's a boy or a girl.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I realised I said, isn't it? Because I kind of think of Willow Smith as a concept. It's like a genderless concept. I think maybe that's just like, that's maybe his greatest piece of artwork, is that he created Willow Smith. She's an installation. She's an art installation. Is it a she or a he?
It's a she.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, she whips her hair back and forth.
Oh,
all right.
Piss off. Stupid song.
And Jaden Smith was the kid in Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And in Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness, yeah.
I thought he was quite good.
He was good in Pursuit of Happiness. I had no intention of watching the new Karate Kid on the basis that the old Karate Kid was bad enough.
The old Karate Kid was a classic, and the new Karate Kid has Jackie Chan in it, so it's compulsory viewing.
No.
They've got to be on a par with the Mortal Kombat film.
Oh, don't start
then.
Which
is then on a par with Inception.
Peter, you're in charge of this call. Hang up on Dan. Hang up on the fucker.
I think he raises a valid point.
He doesn't raise a valid point at all.
I mean, I watched Street Fighter again as well, and that it's not actually as bad as you made out. Good film.
Does it age well?
I think Lewis has just gone.
Yeah, he has hung up on himself. He's probably gone to watch Inception.
From Steakland to Mad Men. Peter, you finally caught up on Mad Men.
Yes, I did. There was an episode once where they were eating steak.
Oh, was it? Yes, there was. So, from Steakland to back to the food type steak in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Peter.
Mad Men. I think I saw like half of an episode of Mad Men a few years ago and haven't seen any more of it since then, but I've sort of heard people talking about it, and a couple of times I thought, oh, I must watch that, and then you've always said that it was really good. So eventually, when I wasn't very well, I decided I would just get the box sets and watch it all. So I watched 4 seasons of Mad Men in like 2 weeks. And it's brilliant. It's possibly, I would say it's probably the second best TV I've ever seen. And
what's the first?
And that's only because nothing's ever as good as The Wire. But yeah, it's really, really good. And it's really subtle, and it's really well designed, and the whole way it looks is amazing. And it's so, like, it's written so smartly. There's so much that they don't say. But you know what's going on, and you know what each character's thinking, but it's almost like it's more important for them to be silent than it is for them to actually be speaking sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's really clever.
What actually is it? Because I've never even heard of it.
You've never even heard of it?
It's an American TV drama. Each episode's about an hour long. Well, it's like 45 minutes long, so with ads it would be an hour. And it's set in in the early 1960s on Madison Avenue in New York in a advertising agency. So it's about all the advertising executives and their secretaries and their clients, basically. But they spend a crazy amount of literally in the first season, I think there's not a single scene where they're not smoking or lighting a cigarette. And there's probably about 50% of the scenes they're pouring drinks.
Don's my idol.
And there's like they all cheat on their wives, and they're all it's a very misogynistic view of the world.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds a tad soap opera-ish when you put it like that, but what it's got going for it is where it's set in the 60s. You have the political events around the world, obviously the social changes, technological changes, those types of things that are all affecting the story as well. And it's more character based than it is story based, isn't it? If that makes sense.
Yeah, and then there's kind of occasional flashbacks to Don Draper is the lead character, and he grew up on a farm during the Depression in the 1930s. So there's little flashbacks to his childhood that was really hard. And then there's like little flashbacks he served in the Korean War in the 50s. So there's little flashbacks to that as well. And then there weren't very many though. There was a couple of instances where other characters had these little flashbacks to things, but not very many. And then so it sort of builds on his character, but then you see the way it plays off the events of the time, like Kennedy getting elected and the Cuban Missile Crisis and then Kennedy's assassination, things like that, that are massive, massive world events, but they're very subtly done. So,
in some cases, they're too subtly done. Because in the case of racial equality, I think they briefly mentioned the marches and things because what's his face, his girlfriend was black, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And they never came back to that. I thought something was gonna.
Yeah, but, it was gonna but happen. That's kind of that the way it's all done. It's there's an awful lot of it that's just sort of left not quite finished.
Yeah, they won't chuck in a random murder or massive event just for the sake of it.
Yeah, but
if it has no relevance or bearing on what they want to go ahead with, then they just won't do it at all.
And because it sticks with the same characters, it kind of, you know, I think that the racial equality stuff, there was the civil rights movement in the early 60s in Mississippi and Alabama, I think.
Yeah.
Where they had the Million Man March, and then there was the in 1962 or 63 there was the demonstrations when they let the first black people into the University of Mississippi, but they had demonstrations at that. But it's all seen through the eyes of one of the ad executives who's kind of a liberal, and he has a black girlfriend, and they go down to the marches. But then he comes home from them and just starts back to work, and he splits up with his girlfriend, he just starts back to work. And that's kind of the way things happen in real life. You know, not everything that you do has a perfect conclusion that you can wrap up and leave it. Sometimes things just sort of fade out and you don't go back to them for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not, it's not boring on any level, is it? There are still, even the, if they seem relatively mundane or relatively normal, such as a marriage breaking down or what have you, that because you're so immersed into the characters, they become more dramatic than they potentially would be to an outsider.
Yeah, and it's they play really cleverly on things like the aspects of feminism. There are two female characters that are both very different in their approach to the way they handle the men in the show, but they're both, in their own sort of strange ways, they're both very strong female role models. They just do it in a different way. And sort of over the four seasons that I've... There are only four seasons, aren't there, so far?
So far, yeah. The fifth one's a bit late at the moment, so I don't think that'll start till about sort of November time.
So over the four seasons, the way that they've developed as characters and the way they've developed together and the way their relationship works together, it's really, really interesting. I think it was really interesting to watch them all in such a short period of time, too. Because the comparisons for the early ones, you sort of remember what they were like at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, really interesting, and probably boring everybody by ranting on about it, but it was really, really good. I'm so glad that I watched it.
Cool, cool.
So there we go. Have you lost your list, Lewis?
No.
Shall I ring Chris and ask him what to do next?
From Mad Men to men who have entered a competition. That doesn't even work because we got one woman. Damn it.
Oh dear. From people who are competing for advertising contracts.
To people who want to win DVDs. Yeah. Oh, shit.
People who are competing for shit DVDs.
No, sorry, I said shit because I dropped my iPad.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, it's competition time.
Competition time.
Jinx.
All right. I'll shut up then.
Okay, last week I played...
Which is my favourite piece of classical music in the world ever.
Is it?
Barber's Adagio for Strings.
It is Adagio for Strings, which is most commonly linked to...
Kevin and Perry Go Large.
yes, Kevin and Perry Go Large.
What do I win?
It was, of course, Platoon.
No, I think you'll find it's Kevin and Perry
No, Go I think Large. You'll find Shut Up.
No. I'm right, Kevin and Perry Go Large. Carry the pogo.
Okay.
Was that piece of music the actual orchestral version, or was that piece of music Ferry Corsten's remix?
No, that was the actual original.
Oh, the original?
Not the original. That'd be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, probably. And a time machine.
Yeah. No, Tiesto. Oh, that is a good remix, though.
Is that who's it? I think it was Ferry Corsten. I think it was Ferry Corsten.
I like Tiesto's one.
Yeah. And it was that knobhead that did all Madonna's producing that did it originally, wasn't it? Well, didn't do it originally, but did the remixes.
Oh, yeah, William Knobhead Orbit.
Yeah.
Cock. Although he did write a song called Portsmouth, so it's not that bad.
Did he?
It's shit. It's like a sea shanty.
Well,
it's fucking awful.
It's fitting then, isn't it? If it's like a sea shanty and it's shit, then it says Portsmouth to me. Does anybody get stabbed in it?
You'll get fucking stabbed in a minute.
Is it only allowed to be sung by people who only have three teeth in their head? That's what Portsmouth's like, isn't it?
It's not that bad.
I've seen it on telly, Lewis. Come on.
Normally they've got like five teeth at least. When have you seen it on TV?
I think it was in a TV show called Britain's Hardest Pubs.
Oh, yeah, Mother Shipton. Yeah, that's not a good indication of Portsmouth.
No. I imagine the tourist board in Portsmouth were very ashamed.
They probably weren't. They're probably proud of it. There's probably in fact, there was a big window in the pub that said, as seen on TV.
Yeah.
That's the type of pub it is.
Yeah. I have an uncle who used to live in Portsmouth.
Oh.
When he was in the Navy, I think.
Now it's a good place to live.
Mm. Not really.
I had a dad who lived in Portsmouth.
Was he in the Navy?
He was in the Navy.
I'm not a bastard. My mummy loved those notes. That. Oh dear, I give up.
Right. I had 1, 2. Three.
Oh yeah, we're doing a competition.
Five answers, I think. I should really put these into folders, I think. Would make life a little bit easier. Six answers I got. So, Daniel, if I could have Peter, if I could have a number between 1 and 6, please.
7.
Well, I don't even talk like that. That's just a bit insulting.
Well, I don't know, because now you sound exactly like me.
It's like he put on like a munchkin's voice. Number 5.
Number 5 is Hazel Matthews.
Oh.
Or Hazelam.
Or
Hazelam.
Hazel M.
No, it's Hazel M.
Hazelam. Hazelam.
Hazelam.
Wasn't that the lion from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe?
I was just thinking that. Yes, so congratulations, Hazelam. You have won a DVD, which will be chosen by Dan, because he can only choose between 1 and 2. If you give him less things, he'll cause less trouble. Dan, give me a number between 1 and 2.
There is no number
Say 1 or 2.
1.5.
Don't take me literally. What are you, autistic?
I heard you liked being taken literally.
By 1 or 2.
Dan loves it.
1 or 2.
1. Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, 1.
The beach! Hazelam has won The Beach. Danny Boyle's Quite Good, The Beach.
Now
that's a ringing endorsement.
There's a quote for the Bucks.
That's just the blurb. You can get rid of all the rest of it. It just says, "They're quite good. The beach."
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, quite young-looking Leonardo DiCaprio. How old is this film? 1999. There you go. Right. Oh yeah, shit. That's this week's quiz, isn't it? Because that was obviously a piece of music from a film. The piece of music I'm about to play you is from a game. Usual rules apply. Tell me what game this piece of music is from. Okay.
God, Mario's gotten a bit dramatic.
Mario wishes. If you think you know what game that is from, email me at lewisgaston@screendemon.com. What is next? Quiz time.
All right.
Hooray.
We don't have a jingle for that.
Quiz time!
Oh, was that you trying to do my voice?
Quiz time!
Is that Peter or me?
It's all good.
Because it sounds like me from the end of last podcast. But it also now sounds like Peter. So you've just confused me now.
Are we saying that Dan can only do one voice?
Yes.
Apart from his
Dan,
own, obviously.
What are you playing with?
A toy dumper truck.
Put it down. We're doing a podcast.
I don't want to. Fine.
Put the dumper truck down. Get your pen ready.
I've got a new pen.
It's not a euphemism. What is it? Breast cancer?
No. It's a pen that my wife stole from her work. Yeah, it's from Berwyn, Leighton and Paisner lawyers.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No, apparently they were law firm of the year.
Which year?
I don't know, it doesn't say. But it looks like a fairly new pen.
What does your Wifery do?
She is a personal assistant at a she's a personal assistant the manager of a hotel.
Yeah.
I think she asked somebody at reception if she could borrow their pen, and they lent her her pen, and she said, "Oh, that's a nice pen. I'll take that home and give it to Pete."
What a bitch.
Because Pete likes pens. Daddy likes his pens.
I've now just got a picture of you like Pauline from League of Gentlemen. Okie pokey, pickety pokey. Pens down, everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, sir. Quiz. 1 to 10.
6. 7, 8. 9. 10.
Yay.
Ready.
This week's thing is I'm going to give you 3 character names, and I want you to tell me the actor who played them.
Oh, that sounds like it might be quite easy.
Actor or actress. Some of them are easy.
Okay.
Hopefully there'll be a couple of tricky ones in there, but that, I mean, Dan's going to lose no matter what, but
well, we can only hope.
Dan.
Yes.
Dan. Just so you know, none of these are orcs.
Oh, we'll see.
Okay,
are you sure?
Number
because
one.
I've been informed everything is orcs.
Everything is orcs, but none of the answers is orcs.
Even things that aren't orcs generally turn
out
to
orcs.
Be orcs.
Mm. But none of these are orcs.
That sounds like a cunning double bluff.
Beg your pardon? Okay, number one. We'll start you off nice and easy. Who played Michael Corleone... Tony Montana and John Milton. Number two, who played Tina Carlisle, Jenny Everdeen, and Mary? 3. Who played Alec Trevelyan, Boromir, and Zeus? 4. Who played Clementine Krasinski, Rose Bucater, or Bucater, or whatever you say it, and Mildred Pierce?
Well, it's going swimmingly so far.
Have you got 4 or 4?
I've got 1 of 4.
Right. That's disappointing.
Mm.
They've all been quite easy.
Yeah, I predicted this might be quite easy and kind of underestimated my ability to remember people's names.
How about you, Dan? How are you getting on?
I'm just emailing you my answers now. I've made a list on my iPad.
If it's going to say 1 to 10 orcs.
No. It's all good.
Number 5. Detective Alonzo Harris, Joe Miller, and Malcolm X.
I can see his face.
No, fuck's sake, I'm a believer.
Number 6. Iris Murdoch, Queen Victoria, and Barbara Corvett. Number 7. Detective Lieutenant William Somerset, Ned Logan, and God.
Ah.
Number 8 is Lynn Brackham. Honey Horny, and Vicky Vale.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Number 9, Lester Burnham, Chris Sabian, and Gertie. And number 10, Lieutenant Einhorn, Susan Atwell, and Rachel. So
this is like golf, the lowest score wins.
Yes. How many have you got? How many think you got?
I think I've written down answers for 3. I think 2 of them might be right.
Daniel.
I've sent you my answers. It's all good. 10 out of 10.
Have you actually sent them?
Yes.
We'll soon see. I don't think you're taking this quiz seriously. If this is a mock list, I'm gonna hunt you down, and not in the normal jolly way. I haven't received an email from you.
At your Yahoo one.
Yeah. Huh.
Jesus Christ, Yahoo mail. Like it was still 1998.
Yahoo's all right. Don't be email fascist. Okay, answers. Find my place again. Number 1, Michael Corleone, Tony Montana, and John Milton.
Al Pacino.
Alfred Pacino.
Alfred.
That's his actual name.
Is it?
Hmm.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Dan, I still haven't got an email from you.
Okay, well, I put Bono. Slightly off.
You're a cunt.
Oh, I really wish Bono had been in Scarface.
If only to see him get shot and fall into a pool.
Yeah.
Number 2.
It would have been a different film. It would have been more like, sponsor my little friend.
Bono is a number cunt. 2 is grade A. Tina Carlisle, Jenny Everdeen, and Mary.
Is it Bono?
Yes.
I'm refusing to answer that question.
Why?
It's protest.
Against Dan?
No.
Just a general
protest. I'm not answering that question until Dan gets his pension sorted out.
Right. This has been episode 25 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast.
I thought it was 26.
Why? Why are you being like this?
We're like this every week.
I haven't done nothing to you.
Oh, God. Now you sound like those boys in the pub.
You slags. Did anyone get number two?
No.
Cameron Diaz.
All right. What films was she in?
There's Something About Mary. That's Why She's Mary.
Okay.
Tina Carlisle from The Mask and Jenny Everdeen from Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Number three, Alec Trevelyan, Boromir and Zeus.
That's Mr. Sean Bean, isn't it?
This is Sean Bean.
See, I couldn't remember his name.
Sean Bean.
I could see his face. Couldn't remember his name.
Bet you like that with all the men.
Yeah. But it's all right, because I think actually the face I could see was the other guy that was in Lord of the Rings. That played the king.
Which one? There's quite a lot of guys in. Oh, the man from Fringe. Or do you mean Bernard Hill?
I mean Bernard Hill, probably. Yeah. I don't know. The man from Fringe played the Mad King at the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, the guy that was the king that was with them all at the very beginning when they started walking.
Is that Viggo Mortensen?
Yes.
Oh. Well, he's not the king until like the very end.
Did he not used to be the... Oh, I think I may have missed a key point in these films.
He was the returning heir.
Oh, he was the return of the king.
Exactly.
Oh, see, by that point in the trilogy, I've fallen asleep and lost the will to live.
Right, you've lost automatically. Number four, yes. Clementine Krasinski, Rose Berber and Mildred Pierce.
Probably Bono.
Kate Winslet.
Oh.
Number five.
Bono would have been better in those roles.
Number five. Detective Alonzo Harris, Joe Miller and Malcolm X.
Was it? All right, I think I've actually got this question, so I'm going to stop dicking about and really give a serious answer. Was it Denzel Washington?
It was Denzel Washington.
Cool. I only got that because I'm Malcolm X.
Number six. Iris Murdoch, Queen Victoria and Barbara Corvette.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
No.
Judi Dench.
Never heard of her.
Number
six. Has she,
how can you not? She's in everything.
Has she been in anything good?
Mortal Kombat?
How dare. That's a national treasure you're talking about there.
I only watch films with naked cheerleaders.
She's naked in some of them.
Is she cheerleading?
She can be.
Need to tick both boxes. That's what I do when I watch
make
the films.
I can make a film for you. I can request it.
Okay. We'll put that request in. We'll write to...
Well, I say request it. I can order it.
We'll write to Judi Dench's people and ask if she'll star in one of those kind of films for us.
Oh. And we don't need to ask her. I've got direct contact with Judi Dench.
Okay. Just...
I'll tell her to do it.
Don't leave any DNA behind.
No, I won't. Number seven. What do you think I am, an amateur? Number seven, Detective Lieutenant William Somerset, Ned Logan and God.
I guessed this one.
Who did you
guess? I guessed Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was God in something.
He was God
in Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
And then Evan Almighty.
But I don't know who those other characters... What other films were you listing there?
Detective Lieutenant William Somerset is
seven, yeah.
And Ned Logan is Unforgiven.
Oh. I don't think I've seen Unforgiven.
How can you not? Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman.
Who?
Number eight. I don't even know why I bothered.
Was he in City Slickers?
No, fuck off. Lynn Brackman, Honey Horney and Vicky Vale.
Was Vicky Vale in an Adam Sandler film?
No, Vicky Vale's Batman.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I know the answer to this now, but I feel like I've kind of cheated it.
What will you say now?
I would say Michelle Pfeiffer.
Well, you'd be wrong.
Oh, Kim Basinger.
Catwoman. Kim Basinger.
Basinger.
They're both basically the same person, those two. I've never seen them in a room together.
It's proof. It's solid proof. Number 9. Lester Burnham, Chris Sabian and Gertie.
Nope.
I know Lester Burnham. Where is it from?
Yep, sounds familiar, but...
Is it Kevin Spacey?
It is Kevin Spacey. Lester Burnham's American booty. Chris Sabian is Negotiator, yes. And Gertie is Moon.
Oh, yeah.
He was the voice of Gertie. And number 10, Lieutenant Einhorn, Susan Atwell and Rachel.
Oh, I know Lieutenant Einhorn. I can't remember the film.
Was it Zooropa?
No.
The U2 tour from the early 90s.
What is it with you? I know you've been away for 2 weeks. There's no need to be a cunt.
Well, there's no need, but it's fun.
Lieutenant Einhorn, Susan Atwell and Rachel. Yes.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah, but what's the actress's name?
Bollocks and Buggerations.
Holly Willoughby.
No. Oh, I'll be.
No.
Sean Young?
I thought you said actress.
Yep.
That's a boy's name.
No, that's a girl's name.
Sean.
It's about the same as Sean Bean. She's a girl. Well, not in Ace Ventura. Lieutenant Einhorn is Ace Ventura, although she was also Ray Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn! Susan Atwell is from No Escape. No Way Out, sorry, rather. And Rachel, Peter. Sean Young, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Blade Runner.
Ah, her.
Her.
Yeah.
So there you go. I have no idea who won that one. I wasn't keeping count.
Does that mean I win? Because I got 3.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that Bono won.
Pete got Al Pacino.
I got 3. I got Al Pacino.
Denzel.
Yeah, I got...
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Eventually got Kim Basinger.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't get Sean Young. Dan, did you get Al Pacino?
No, I got Denzel, Morgan,
you
and...
got Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Denzel.
No, I didn't get... I got Morgan Freeman. I didn't get Denzel. Sorry.
Oh, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey, and you didn't get Sean Young, so Peter won.
Oh, dear. I don't think we should actually say that I won. I think we should just say that Dan lost.
Yes, Dan lost.
I don't think I could really claim that as a victory.
Who lost last week as well?
Me.
Was that you as well, Dan, was it?
I wasn't on the podcast last week, so I think we could technically say the listeners lost.
God, that illness has really made you modded. Okay, so that's the quiz done as well. So next on the list is questiones, as they say in Sweden. And I will just access them.
Have you got questions?
I'm looking at the Twitter thing.
Oh, good.
We got another one sent in from Colin Barr on email. So, right, lunatics and perverts. That's
me.
Colossal Blue. So the first question is from CC Star. Will TSA stick with its name in a similar way to how Carphone Warehouse has, long after car phones are obsolete? I'm not entirely sure. I see what it means.
Oh, because the six axis control thing.
So once the six axis is gone, are you keeping the name?
I don't know. I don't plan that far ahead, really. We are what we are. I don't know.
You can add Kinect into the title. That would go down well.
Yeah.
Kinect and Wii.
We'll wait and hear what they finally name that Wii controller. With a screen thing on it, the Wii U controller. And then we'll just name ourselves after that. People will go fucking mental. I don't know, it's... I don't know, the name has... got us in trouble. Well, it hasn't really got us in trouble, but it does tend to hold us back sometimes. People tend to think that we're a PlayStation exclusive website sometimes. And we're not. But I don't know. I think it would be something that would be very difficult to do, very difficult to justify.
Yeah.
Because people know who we are now, and you know, everybody knows us, and the name doesn't really mean anything.
No, but it loses its meaning, and it would be damaging for the site to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because that's your identity now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably just because I'm so close to it, but to me, when I see six axis written anywhere, meaning the control thing, I always think, oh, they're talking about us. Which is, although kind of daft, but yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question, because like, you don't think about that, but the car phone warehouse, like, what is a car phone? Like, they were
the phone you're using.
They were popular.
And they've got a big building full of them.
Oh.
That's probably true. Left over from the 80s.
Yeah, it
is. Next cue is from Daywalker Liam. Oh, this is going to be good. What was that? Did you just hock up a honky or something?
Hock up a honky?
Hock up a honky? Hock up? Yeah. A racially sensitive term for a white man.
Yes, I did.
Ah, it's good to know. But we all know Dan, he's always got honky in his mouth.
I'm not that fussy.
But he never hocks it up.
Oh.
He chews and swallows.
Oh, really sick.
Next question. See, look, the mere mention of his name and you've all just turned into filth bags. Who the fuck are Oscar and Mike, Peter? Naming companies after them, I thought we had something special.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Are we glossing over that one?
So, Liam continues to be creepy then.
It's good to know that he hasn't lost any of his psycho weirdness.
Yeah.
Next question is from Spoofer Barnabas. What are your favourite music bands, also favourite game themes?
Oh, we were talking about this before the podcast started, and Lewis disclosed that his favourite band was U2.
hence my Bono tribute to you that you completely just looked over, bastard.
I didn't look over, I haven't had it in the email yet.
That's because you're using Yahoo Mail. It was delivered in 1998.
You didn't fucking send it. Right, if you two don't stop ganging up on me, I'm going to cry.
Oh, well, there's an incentive to stop.
For the record, I don't like you two. You two are...
A pair of bastards.
Bunch. Pair of bastards.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about us two.
You two. You two are cunts. I like you two less than you two.
Who two?
You two. Voodoo.
You do voodoo.
Who do?
You do.
You remind me of the babe.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
I've just tweeted you that list, by the way. Much quicker than Yahoo.
Your mum's much quicker than Yahoo.
Well, yeah, everything's much quicker than Yahoo.
There's your tech top tip for the day. Twitter's faster than Yahoo. But still not as fast as Dan's mum.
Right, let's have a look at this picture. Oh, you're using Wifrog. Talk about stuck in the dark ages.
That's so Q2 2011.
So, Dan's cute, isn't he? He's written 1 to 10. 1 is Bono. 2's Bono. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are Bono. And 10 is Bono.
There you go.
I hate you. You're dead to me.
Then my job here is done. I can log off.
You've thrown me off.
Questions.
No, favourite music bands.
Questions. What are your favourite music bands? Also, favourite game themes?
The theme from Sonic the Hedgehog 3 is my favourite.
Two.
Three.
Two.
One. You're back in the room.
Okay. And my favourite music bands, I like all sorts of shit. My favourite band is probably the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Probably. But I like all sorts of shit. Like, I really like Kasabian, the Arctic Monkeys, Oasis. All that sort of shit.
Why are we friends?
Because you wish you were as cool as me.
Daniel, son.
Oh, I don't really have any. I used to like Linkin Park until they turned a bit shit. So yeah, that's it. I don't really have a favourite theme for video games. So yeah, sorry. No, boring.
Next question.
I'd say two. Sonic 2 is my favourite theme. And bands. I don't know, my favourite band changes from week to week. But I do have a soft spot for
You Too.
I was gonna say True. I've got a soft spot for You Too, Dan. Tracy Chapman, but that's not a band, is it?
No. It's my sister in law's name.
It's good to know. Is she a middle aged black woman who sings about the struggle and plight of poor black folk in America?
No. She doesn't even have a fast car. Was that Tracy Chapman or was that a shit joke?
Yeah, no, that was Tracy Chapman. Oh. It was still a shit joke.
Oh, right, okay.
It was Tracy Chapman. You could have at least talked about a revolution. See? Now that was a joke.
Is that what that was?
Talking about a revolution?
Was that not the Who?
No. You've never heard that song?
No.
Right, YouTube it after the podcast. Talking about a revolution.
You,
Tracy
you
Chapman.
Too after the podcast.
Oh, fuck off. Just go. Last question is from... Oh no, we got one by email. Next question is from AshW92. How much are you all going to blow... How much are you all going to blow on the Steam sale?
Nothing.
Yeah, probably more than I've got. My credit card's maxed out, so probably nothing.
I don't have Steam, so no.
You have a computer that runs on Steam.
Not even that anymore. I'm pretty sure there's just a pissed off hamster inside going, no, fuck off. Not doing it. I'm having a fag instead. I imagine my hamster inside my computer is a bit like Ralph C. Nesbitt.
What, wears a string vest?
In Scottish. It's my hamster, of course it wears a string vest.
Has an addiction problem that we can all make fun at. Because it's only funny. It's allowed to be funny if it's about Scottish people. You're just supporting the BBC's institutional racism.
Yep.
I know. I'm trying to get the BBC to be open about their racism.
Talking about tucking your hamster in dark places.
Richard Gere taught me that.
How much did he blow on a Steam sale? Oh God, that was so tenuous.
The question we received from Colin Barr is, have you all seen WWE Raw yet? How awesome is CM Punk? What did you think of his promo? I've seen Raw.
No, I don't know, and I didn't see it.
I've
in
not,
that order.
I've Dan. Not watched wrestling for years, but I actually did make an effort to see that promo, and it was wicked.
Oh.
The one where he sat in the middle of the ring?
No, it was
Am
on,
I missing
it was
something?
At the entrance, wasn't it?
No, he was sat in the ring. And then he lied down, and he said he wasn't going to leave until the general manager...
Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Did something?
Then. He did not do this big, long speech before he got cut off on the mic.
Unless what day is it today?
Why, sir, it's Christmas Day.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
In which case, I haven't seen this week's at all. I'm talking about Nick last week's.
Oh dear.
Okay, I've just ruined Raw for you.
You should watch it, Lewis. It's going to be cracking. CM Punk does this big long speech.
I don't like CM Punk.
I don't know who CM Punk is. Is he related to The Undertaker or The Ultimate Warrior?
No. He did come from ECW, though.
ECW? Oh, ECW was good.
Yeah, proper old school ECW.
That was the one where they used to fight in rings with barbed wire around them.
Yeah.
Like real men.
Hmm.
I bet CM Punk... Oh, no, CM Punk came from ECW. Fuck, think of another wrestler.
John Cena.
John Cena, yeah. John Cena's never fought in a ring with barbed wire around it. Fucking pussy.
Who exactly are you trying to upset now?
Because
I'm pretty sure John Cena's not going to listen to this podcast.
Are you sure?
I'm 99%.
Well, why? Is his assistant not getting them?
I haven't been sending them to him.
Oh, dear.
Was I supposed to?
Well, somebody should have been.
Oh. I didn't get the memo, you see, fortunately.
Well, he's going to have a lot of listening to do if this is episode 25.
God. I can't even work that out. It's at least 25 hours.
At least.
Could be nearer 50. So that's us done.
God, can you imagine going back and listening to all these podcasts from the start again? You'd end up wanting to cut yourself.
I'm tempted to now. We've now got to the point where over 25 podcasts, we need to find, we need to go back and find our favourites.
Oh dear, no, we don't.
And then hang it on the wall.
And that can then we'll cut together a best bits podcast. And then that can just be it. We can leave it at that and not make any more.
Exactly. Chris can do that.
Yeah. Of course, Chris. Yeah. Chris would have to do that.
Wow. That's everything as far as I am aware. Does anybody else have anything they would like to say, share, or regale us with?
Well, I missed the weeks when we were talking about Duke Nukem.
Oh, God.
Right.
So I could probably just say that Duke Nukem Forever is really shit. And leave it at that.
See, Dan said he liked it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But then I'm a liar.
Yeah.
If you want to play a Duke Nukem game, hunt out Duke Nukem 3D. It was fucking brilliant. Duke Nukem Forever is an insult. So yeah, didn't like it. Move on. Anything else?
Cool. I haven't got anything else. Dan?
Yes?
Have you got anything else?
This is for you.
Peter, give me control of this fucking call.
Hold on, Lewis. It's a beautiful day.
Oh, this song pisses me off.
Let's all put on our sunglasses.
I'm taking my headphones off.
You can come back now.
Finished?
I bet you say that to all the boys.
This song doesn't even make sense. And it was for Lara Croft.
That's all fun and games, but Bono's the sort of cunt that actually would sue us for royalties.
I don't give a fucking shit. He can try and sue me all he likes. At least they'll get me in a courtroom face to face with him. He'll soon regret that decision.
Why? Will you show them on the doll where he touched you?
I'll jib him up.
Shank a motherfucker.
Right. I left. Have been left. I have been your host, Lewis.
My host?
Your host. Oh, swear to God. If ever I meet Dan, he's just going to get a punch square across the face.
Oh, we already decided if ever you met Dan, he was going to tombstone you through a table.
At this point in time, it's going to be the other way round. I have been Lewis.
You have been, but you are no more.
I'm no more longer.
No more longer. That's what she said.
I'm no more longer.
Oh, Lewis, you're no more longer.
It's been a stressful day. All right. It was cold. For fuck's sake. We've also been joined by Peter. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye.
And it's. I'll say goodbye as well. Bye.
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 Sounds so enthusiastic.
Who? You. Why?
I don't know. You just don't sound like you really want to be here, Lewis.
I was trying to end it, but you two were being cut, so my enthusiasm level dropped quite considerably, actually. So if you want someone to blame, blame yourself.
No.
I can live with that.
I blame Chris.
Oh, blame Chris for everything. It's like orc situations. If it's not an orc, it's Chris's fault.
But it was Chris let the orcs out.
Oh, the Baha men. Will not. They'll be singing about that sooner or later.
The Baha men. Jesus Christ.
Let the orcs out. Ooh.
There's a name from the past, Lewis. Are they still advertising on Yahoo?
I don't know why you think slagging off Yahoo will upset me. I don't own Yahoo.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will upset you. I just like taking the piss out of things that you use, you know.
But I know Yahoo shit.
Prostitutes.
You take the piss out of them all you like. You're just
jealous. They charge extra.
You're just jealous that you don't have to pay for women. No, no, wait. Oh shit.
Yeah, but on the other side of that coin, I've got one woman now for the rest of my life.
Mm.
Every silver lining has a cloud.
That would be excellent bribery.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. It's nothing I haven't said to her. Do you know, I said to my wife, we got married in New York, and I said that before we got married, I said that it was going to be great because it means that if I ever got rich and famous, I could write an autobiography, and the pictures of us just after our wedding in New York, we could put them in the middle bit of my autobiography with the caption, Peter when he was marrying his first wife. Yeah, she took that really badly.
Yeah.
Still brings it up sometimes.
Women. They never let things go, can they?
I don't know why she can't just be grateful. Oh, dear. So brave when she's not that, here to hit
that,
me things.
I was going
to
say, that one is definitely bribery. <Yeah. laughs>
She's good for a laugh, my wife. She has to be married to me.
Okay.
I can't believe none of you jumped in with a knob joke.
Shall we end?
Well, probably. We have all already said goodbye.
Oh. Fucking genius over there.
That's usually how it works, I think. You say goodbye and then you end it.
Ah.
Unless it's like just a cry for attention. Shall we go then?
If you want, I'm staying here for a bit.
Okay.
I've got business with the Skype testing call service.
Bit of business.
You know, she's got that sexy voice. And you can talk to her and she listens.
She interrupts you, though.
Oh, no, but you have to get used to that. I mean, she's lonely. You have to let her do whatever makes her feel important.
And I think she's used to speed dating because she always rings that bell.
The annoying one?
Yeah. She's looking for the next person to come along.
Thanks.
Does not bother you that she's been used by about 14 million people?
Oh, and that's what I look for.
Nice.
Oh dear.
Preferably unclean as well. Used by 14 million people, never had a shower.
That's possibly the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
I've achieved it. I achieved disgusting Peter.
Oh, that's just soiled. How do you like your women? Soiled.
Dripping. Oh. Anyway, let's go. Let's go.
We've got to go now. Lewis has turned himself on.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to the Skype call testing lady. Last time I looked, she was up to like 28 million users.
Oh dear.
This could get slippery.
Just don't.
Right.
Right, okay.
Are we.
Yeah. Let's leave it at that.
This is going on the end, you know, the silent bit. People have to wait. I didn't even know Chris did that until like 10 episodes into the podcast.
I don't think he started doing it until like 10 episodes in.
Oh, well, in which case I only had a couple. Okay. Thank you for being here.
Alright.
It's been special.
It's been emotional. Now I'm going to have the image of a soiled virtual woman in my head for the whole night.
Oh, it'd be like, what's her name? Connie.
Who?
Connie, the AOL girl. That dress won't be that visible now.
Jesus Christ. AOL.
LOL.
Right, I'm going before you dredge up any more internet history.
Alright then.
Cheerio.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.